Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
This is kind of part two. It flowed from the communion. But like I said, I woke up this week meditating out of that scripture, my God, why have you? And I don't, you know, I've had this privilege and opportunity to, I don't know now, Mama Addie, thousands of prayer ministries. We did three this week. And so when you hear the struggles and the battles of, and how God just sets people free. And so how many of us have walked through situations, circumstances, unanswered prayer, feeling that point of, and in fact, this week I had someone openly share with me, first time coming to prayer ministry, new to the church, and said, you know, there's times when I hate to admit it, but I guess I get angry at God that he hasn't responded to my prayer requests. He said, I know that's not good. And I said, hey, you know what? You're not alone. In fact, Jesus had the same situation. And so if we look at this scripture, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 22. David has this revelation of a psalm to music that is really, we know, is the fulfillment of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It's 33 verses, and it's amazing. The first 19 verses start with basically, God, where are you? Where are you? And then it shifts in verse 19, and it ends with this amazing statement of the resurrected king who's going to, all are going to come. It's really a fulfillment of Isaiah 9, where it says the government shall be upon his shoulders. It's that verse 28 where it says the royal power belongs to the Lord and he rules the nations. So let's look at that psalm. It's actually called the Psalm of the Cross. If you look at the top of your handout as well, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy. Mark and I didn't set this up, but I love that song where it says, I don't see you working, and yet I know you're going to work it out. I love what Mama Addie, if you hang around here any length of time, and I've had to have it spoken to me in some of my dark hours. He says, my baby, Jesus is going to work it out. Put that down somewhere in your spirit. Jesus is going to work it out, right? My baby. I love it. I haven't heard her say that I don't know how many times. And say it again to me, Mama. Say it again to me, because I need that. So this is that place where, in spite of all that, he says, you're holy, because he's always good. Simple theology. The devil's bad, God's good. We put all that stuff in between, but that's just stay in those two boundaries. God's always good. He works all things together. Even when I don't see, or even if I don't believe this is good, what I'm seeing right now, because we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, right? So he goes on and says, this psalm is called the Psalm of the Cross because it portrays Christ's anguished suffering on the cross. It is the cry, number one there, it is the cry of anguish and grief from a godly sufferer who has not yet been delivered. Trials, tribulations, and I believe all of us can relate at some point. Whether we have done this by our own rebellion, it's always amazing to me, and I've been here too, it's like we choose to rebel, right? And then we wonder why God hasn't delivered us, or why did he let this happen? When he already told us, I told you not to. And so, and then some people blame him. It's like, God, really? It's like, you know, 1 Samuel 15 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So we actually open the door in rebellion. We rebel against his moral law. We actually open the door to become bewitched. where the killer, the thief, right? John 10:10, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy the devil. And so we can have this place where, that's why I love the story of repentance, because we can get back on track and come right under the glory. Because this is always amazing to me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And then he separates my sin as far as east is from the west. And I can't remember it anymore. How does God do that? How does the all-knowing, all-powerful, omniscient God, I can't remember your sin anymore. And yet we have people remind us of our sin. We have the system remind us of our sin. We have our family remind us of our sin. Now, we don't want to get arrogant, but if it's under the blood, it's for the glory of God. Yeah, that's the old guy. He's dead. And so, and it's actually illegal to bring it up and confess a second time. Think about that for a minute. I've confessed this. I remember when I first got saved. I think I came 15 times up front to get saved because I wasn't sure it took, right? And I knew my stuff. And I'm like, oh, no, I got to work. I got to work this, right? No, it's by grace. We performers and workers. Oh, no, there's got to be. It's not Jesus plus anything. He told the Galatians, you think it's Jesus plus circumcision? It's not. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus. And so once you get a hold of that truth, no wonder it's good news. It's like, that's really, really good news. I was doing ministry on a person who, whew, and they said, there's no way God could forgive me. And when we walked through the scripture that, the revelation, oh man, tears. I have a pillow in my office. She filled that pillow. I could probably wring it out. The revelation of, oh my God, everything's, I said, you walk out of here a virgin in the spirit. Oh my gosh, if that isn't good news, that's the scripture, that's the word, that's why we love him so much. This a cry of this number one is the cry of the godly sufferer who hasn't been relieved yet, but it goes deeper than that. It's the word of the psalm expressed in number two there. It's the experience of Jesus. This is why that mystery, when David was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this psalm, we know that the first 19 verses in the crying out is abandonment. If you look at the verses, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away? Don't you see my groaning? I call to you every night, but I'm not finding any relief. And yet he makes a declaration. It doesn't change your holiness. You are holy, and you're enthroned on the praises of Israel. And then there's almost a jealousy or a, my ancestors called to you and you delivered them, verse 4. You rescued my ancestors. I've heard the testimonies. I've had people come crying to me and says, why did God heal them but won't heal me? It's almost this, God, where are you for me? I'm a worm, verse 6. Not a man? I'm scorned, despised. Everyone mocks me. They sneer. They shake their heads. This is the one that relied on the Lord? Then the Lord, let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. Boy, you hear the mocking spirit. Exactly what happened on the cross. Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb. You led me to trust you. From right at my mother's breast, I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Don't stay far away from me, for trouble's near. No one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls and fierce bulls of Bashan. Like lions, they open their jaws. They roar, they tear. My life is poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up. I'm sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You've laid me in dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. Evil gangs close on me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among them. They throw dice for my clothing. The perfect fulfillment of what took place at the cross. But then I like the shift. He cries out again, O Lord, do not stay far from me. You are my strength. You come quickly to my soul. You save me from the sword. You spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion, the horns of the wild oxen. I proclaim your name. And now here's what happens to the resurrected King of Kings. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among the assembly of the people. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all the descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but he has listened to the cries of help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families and the nations will bow down before him. For the royal power belongs to the Lord, and he will rule the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end in dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born, and they will hear about everything he has done. That's us. That's us. All those who will ever come to Christ. Remember John 17? All those who will ever believe because of these disciples. That's us. So as we go on further in your outline, you can see this abandonment. Here's the good news. Jesus knows and Jesus knew. This scripture really is kind of a mind blower for me. Right there in the middle, I've highlighted it in capital, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God the Father made Christ to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How does God the Son become perfect and holy from the beginning of all time, perfect and holy, fully God, fully man, but at the moment of that substitution, he was made sin. He was made sin. That's why the Father, who can't be in the presence, God cannot be in the presence, and yet he's fully God, but at that moment, that sacrifice was made, all of the sin, drug addictions, murders, trafficking, every sin hung there on him. That's why Jesus cries out, my Father, my God, why have you now forsaken me? Separation. This is a mysterious, that's why Paul falls down on his knees. The separation of the fully God man, now separated from his Father for the first time in all eternity. He became this walking place of sin. He actually disobedient to sin. No, he became it. That is a mysterious, almost can't grab your head around it, but that's what he did. Because remember the sin sacrifice. There has to be the atonement. There has to be the sacrifice of the atonement. That which was perfect and good and holy gave it up for you. If that doesn't make you love him, there's really something in the hardness of the heart that we have to have stripped away. We have to have a revelation. That's why God, the advantage of God, the teacher comes and he says, I will teach you, I will lead you, I will guide you, I will instruct you, I will comfort you. That's why you got to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. That's why he said, there's an advantage I go away, because the Father will send you the gift I told you about, because you got to have him. You got to have the power as the witness, or you can't do this. I was sharing even this week with someone who did not know anything about the training or the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And I said, we've done a really bad service of not preaching the whole gospel. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, and most people believe as soon as you're born again, you got it all. That's not biblical. That's why he tells the disciples, don't leave until the Father sends the gift. Acts 1:4, stay in Jerusalem until I've told you about this. Acts 1:8, when he comes, the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power to become my witnesses. Acts 2, they fall on them in Pentecost. Then these scared, swearing disciples who can't even stay in front of a servant girl at the fire, Peter denies. Something happened. Something happened at Pentecost that even got mocked, right? We see it in Acts 2. They mock it. These men are drunk. There's something wrong with them, and yet they're speaking in at least 12 different languages. These simple men proclaiming the gospel in their language that they did not know to those who were visiting in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8. Peter and John can't even believe that the half-breeds in Samaria could even receive the Holy Spirit, and yet Philip goes there during the persecution. He preaches the kingdom. They're being baptized. Demons are being cast out. People are being healed. The epileptics are being healed. And they say, that can't be. They go there, and the statement in Philip in Acts chapter 8, these believers, the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on the believers yet. And if Jesus doesn't begin his ministry until he's water baptized, the sinless Son of God water baptized, and the Father proclaims his identity, heaven rips open and the Holy Spirit descends on the Son of God. And then it says in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, now Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, is led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested. You think you can pass the test without being water baptized and spirit baptized? If Jesus didn't do it until he, we do a disservice. We do a disservice when we don't preach the whole word. Acts 19, Acts 11, go read the scripture, read Acts. We got to have, and there's more. There's an unlimited resource of his power. How much do you want? Don't grieve him. Don't stifle him, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Sin will separate you from this. If it separated Jesus from his Father, if you participate in outward rebellious sin of witchcraft rebellion, being bewitched by your rebellion, you will be separated from God and you will do stupid things. You will be deceived. But God loves us so much and says, this is not the way, walk here. Look at the rest of your outline. The Lord is not far away. I declare to brothers and sisters, all who fear and honor the reverence of the Lord. Verse 22 and 23 there, number two. You don't ignore my suffering, and you don't turn your back, and you do listen. But it does sometimes, there's a reason in Luke 11 when he tells us to ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's teaching on prayer, and he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And then he uses that parable of this rude neighbor at midnight. First of all, if you look at Luke 11, the neighbor knocks at midnight, everybody's asleep, and he says, give me 3 loaves of bread. Does anybody have 3 loaves of bread in their house? Unless it's in the freezer. It's so outlandish. It's like, I need 3 loaves of bread. Oh, first of all, it's midnight. Leave me alone. And, you know, 3 loaves. He makes that parable. It's kind of like the one that says, speak to the mountain and cast it into the sea. Or in the Luke chapter 10 where the 72 come back on their mission trip and they've cast out demons and the first thing that they say to him is, Jesus, did you know that when we use the name of Jesus, demons listen to us? Yeah. And Jesus is like, teach me. You know, I love that, right? He says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from the sky. And then he goes with an outlandish statement and says, I have given you full power and authority over all the works of the devil. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and in no way can they injure you. That is really outlandish. Can you imagine a whole room of poisonous snakes and vipers and scorpions? This guy, he's seen them. That's another story. Can you imagine walking through that? Like, I know, don't tempt the Lord thy God. But what he's saying is so powerful that I have delegated power and authority to you. You have control over all this darkness. You don't have to be afraid. That's why when he uses these parables that are like way out there, it's like, I need you to get how big this is. And then he goes on and says, you're just going to give him what you got because he's persistent. He's waking my family up at midnight. That's why he says, put me in remembrance of my word. The reason we are so focused at times on prayer, and every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30, we're here interceding for nations, for families, for states, for children, for laws. We're here standing in the gap. Why? Because he says, put me in remembrance. Give me no rest. I heard a statistic recently. Born again, spirit-filled believers spend less than 4 minutes a day in prayer. We would do well. Now, I get it. It's sometimes there's a busyness of life, but we can pray. We need to pray. We need to be consistent in our prayer and in our study of the Word. Right? He says in Philippians 4, don't be anxious. If you're anxious about anything, pray about everything. Tell God what he's already done. Thank him for it. Tell him what you need. And he'll give you a peace over your heart that your mind can't even get a hold of. And so that's why prayer is so important. That's why he shifts from my unanswered prayer to I believe you will answer my prayer. And then the fruit of this psalm is he's going to have the government on his shoulders. And he is going to lead the nations, and your children will know of him. Whew. So the whole theme of this morning has been, hold on, keep praying, keep seeking, keep searching. And like Mark said, for months he sang that song, and it hadn't moved from his head to his heart yet. That journey, that 18 inches sometimes is a long journey of perseverance. That's why I love that scripture in Revelation 3 to the church at Philadelphia. Keep on persevering. So I'm going to invite Mark. Is he still here? If you guys come up and just keys. This morning, it's that hunger and desire, I believe, for more of the revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. When Peter said, he's given us everything we need to live a godly life, there's so many warnings right now. If you look at what's happening in the earth right now, if you go on YouTube to any of the religious leaders that are speaking, the warning is, the time is very, very short, extremely short. I know some don't stay up on this. We need to pray consistently for our leaders. This, you've been hearing it, the Russians have actually threatened nuclear war against the United States. As we raise the tariffs coming this week against those who trade with Russia and try to shut down their economy, and we continue to arm the Ukrainians through Europe, the former president of Russia came out and said, you know, we have thermonuclear weapons as a threat. Back down. Well, you know, our president doesn't do that easily. So he then dispatched two of our Trident missile boats to close to the Russian shore. Now, I don't know if you know anything. When I was in the submarine service, the Tridents, I've been on several of them, the Tridents carry 24 nuclear warheads. the Trident missiles, capable of traveling 7,500 miles and hitting their target within several feet. They carry MIRVs, which are multiple reentry vehicle. They're multiple warheads, each one capable of 8 Hiroshimas, which exterminated 100,000 people in Japan. This is not an idle threat. And so we know that the nuke, they say that the doomsday clock has moved closer to the strike. So that's not to bring fear, but it is to get us on our knees and to recognize if you're walking in some level of sin and justifying, that's not a good time to be doing this. It's never a good time. But it's a time of let's get in the ark of Jesus and let's tell as many people as we can about what we know is the truth. So let's stand. And this morning, Lord, I ask that you would motivate us, Holy Spirit, to pray, to seek your face, to recognize, to get in the word, to shut off some of the social media and other things that are competing for our time, and help us to be a praying people, a persevering people, a witnessing people, wherever we go. So I want to invite the ministry team, you know who you are, you're our trained team, if you'll come. You may be standing in the gap for a prodigal. You may be standing in a place where there's been a consistent battle in a particular area of your life that you have not found victory in yet. He said in James 5, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous shall accomplish much. Confessing your sins one to another that you might be sozoed, Hebrew, Greek verb that's saved, healed, and delivered. Sometimes humility, James 4 says, humble yourselves and draw close. He'll draw close to you, and then you can resist the devil and he'll flee. Sometimes in our fear of man, we won't talk about our stuff. Now, I recognize that's got to be careful who you tell your stuff to. But we have trustworthy prayer warriors here that have had a lot of life experience as well. It'd be good to come and say, I just need help here. I don't want to live in this struggle anymore. I want to find victory. And the Holy Spirit is the power. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you got to ask the Father. Look at it, Luke 11. If an evil father can give good gifts to his children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you've never asked the Father for that gift, if you don't do it this morning, I would get quiet and I would read that scripture in Luke 11, and then I would ask the Father, I need that baptism of fire. I need that baptism of revelation. I need the greatest gift. It's God on earth, God the Holy Spirit, one of the Godhead that lives and dwells in you. He promised he would quicken you. Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal spirit. You might want to read Romans chapter 8. I think I counted in 31 verses as at least 17 times the Spirit is called out in the battle against the flesh. You can't do this without the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I thank you that your word is true and it's full of power. It's able to give us revelation truth. So Lord, I pray now a blessing on every family here. Lord, I thank you that they walk out of here recognizing we can persevere, that Jesus knows exactly what you're going through and where you are. He felt everything and was tempted in every way like you, and yet he found victory. He modeled what it would be like as a human being who laid down his divine power in Philippians 2 to be a human, fully God-man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be tempted and to win. So Lord, I thank you now in Jesus' name.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.